Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 253 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's numbing loss to Purdue and preview what we hope will be the first of three wins to close out the season, Saturday's game against Ohio State.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rudy with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
Yes, this is Mitchell from Killeen, Texas. I just want to say, for someone that has played high school and college football, someone who has coached, I really think Scott Frost needs to go. I think he lost not only the program, but the locker room. And I think this loss represents that he has no answer anymore. And you can just see that in the second half. And thank you for taking my call, guys. You have a good one.
Hey, this is Michael from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm not calling about the particular game. I'm just calling to vent on some of these so-called greatest fans in college football. You want to fire a head coach, you want to fire a fellow Nebraskan who came into Nebraska and inherited the worst football team in Nebraska history. That's not right. Tom Osborne inherited Bob Devaney's team, and it took him 20, 30 years just to get a national championship. Frank Solich inherited Osborne's team, and he ran with it. He did really well. It's disconcerting that so many fans on Facebook and social media want to fire our own. Yes, it's tough to lose these games, but we need to stick with Frost and the team during these difficult times, because once Nebraska becomes a powerhouse again, and it will become a powerhouse, there will be much rejoicing and celebration throughout Nebraska. As always, go Big Red, and on to the next game. Bye.
What you have just heard, dear listener, is two sides of the same coin, which I believe represents the state of Nebraska fandom right now. We've got a lot of people who want a lot of changes. We got a lot of people who are very dissatisfied, perhaps angry with the status quo. People frustrated who are, at this point, perhaps justified in some of the comments that they are making. But at the same time, we have fans who are, I would say, equally justified in their frustration with the way some people are expressing themselves. People who want to stick with this team through thick and thin. And it's a weird place to be in, man, to be doing a podcast right now. I'll just say that much. We want to hold both of those things, you know. I don't know. I think it's worth kind of acknowledging both sides of this civil war among Nebraska fans that's beginning to take a little, I don't know, it's beginning to gain speed, I guess, is what I would say.
It's starting to get ugly. Civil war is a good way to put it. Yeah. I mean, I tweeted something after that Austin Allen interception where, you know, like he almost had it and then it somehow bounced out of his hand and then another guy, it was intercepted. I just said the football gods hate us, and just, you know, kind of a quip to a freaky, bizarre play that seems to happen to us too much. And all of a sudden people are talking to me about how, well, the football gods don't care because blah. And it's like, people are arguing with me about like a throwaway line here. Like this is getting unnecessarily tense, people.
Justin, all of my lines are throwaways on Twitter, and they somehow seem to get us into trouble all the time.
Yeah, you generate some interactions, Mike.
Folks, we don't need to go there tonight. I'm just going to say this one thing. I still haven't read the article, okay? If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know where you're at, Justin. I am firmly in the camp of I do not see firing Scott Frost as a solution. I just like long term, I'd say personally, my attitude is you got one more year to prove something to me. That's where I'm at with Scott Frost. I might be, if we're in this exact same spot next year, it's going to be hard for me to say we need to just keep giving this guy time.
Yeah, there's no easy answers right now, and obviously there's still 3 games left to play, mm-hmm. so who knows what's going to happen, but you can only spend so much time looking at the 3 narrow losses to top 10 teams, and you have to just set those aside, and you have 3 just ugly, ugly losses to your divisional rivals that, I don't think it's arrogant to say these shouldn't be tight games year in, year out.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the week where my college buddies came out, and so to go to the game with me. And it was fun to, I'm a little under the weather, and my throat's still sore from the game, so if I sound sniffly and crackly, that's why. I apologize, listeners. But it was just interesting to have some guys who are, they're certainly aware of Nebraska football. They've been around it. I mean, we've been doing it for like 15, 16, 17 years.
Wow.
And, but they don't, they don't follow it day in and day out like you and I. And so just to have them try and think through what's happening, because my friend Mike in particular was like, man, I've been coming out here, but I've just never seen a loss like this. This is really bad. He was kind of struck by it. And then they were like, well, is the recruiting down? I was like, no, recruiting's been fine. And it's just we have better athletes than Illinois, Purdue, and Minnesota. Why can't we win these games? So, there's 3 games left to go. Who knows how the season ends out, but I don't know why we were a 7-point favorite for the Purdue game. And once we threw that pick 6 and then didn't connect on the long bomb to Toure, it just kind of felt like things started to slip away, and there was nothing anybody could do to stop it, is really how it felt. And the audience, the fans just cleared out. It was pathetic.
See, that's the thing that's frustrating to me. And that's where I'm kind of siding with Michael's voicemail. Which, by the way, thank you, Mitchell and Michael, for calling in. We appreciate you guys. But I have always said, you stay to the end. You stay. And let's not forget that there was a chance for Nebraska at the very end of that game. And that's probably one of the more frustrating things about the last few years, is that we've said that many, many times. But what if that onside kick was recovered?
It was really close to being recovered.
All of those people who left would have missed out on it. I mean, I can't tell you. I am so happy. I was in the, I can't even remember which end zone it was, but I was in the end zone of the Wester catch. And there were people just filing out of the stadium. Like, that's the stuff you got to stick around for.
People are frustrated and they just don't want to watch the losses anymore. But, I mean, it's, eight home games in a year, and you spend all offseason mm-hmm. breathlessly counting down the days until they come again. It just feels like, it got a little chilly, especially after how warm it was. But all things considered, it was a beautiful day. There's no reason to leave.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit of a culture change that we're seeing. We're kind of part of the old guard in that we stick with Nebraska through thick and thin. We're going to stay there to the end of the game, no matter what.
There's an argument that's been made through the years that Nebraska loyalty has enabled subpar coaching because it enabled Eichhorst to get Riley, and enable because people just keep coming.
Yeah.
they just keep paying the donation and getting the tickets, and so the university feels like, well, I don't really need to, we don't need to be that stressed about it. And I don't think that anybody at the administration level actually thinks about it that way. I think they recognize the sellout streak as a crucial bit of identity, and they want to succeed. Everybody wants to succeed. But, you know, there is an argument that if you are, I mean, we don't have very much power, truly, as fans. So the one thing you can do is you can vote with your feet and say, I'm out of here. Mm. So, I disagree. I think it's lame, but at the same time, I can understand why some of the people do it.
Yeah. Man, it was roughly 14 years ago that I first remember seeing on the news them interviewing people leaving Memorial Stadium early, saying, like, things have got to change. This is unacceptable. This is ridiculous. And that was under Callahan, man. We've been dealing with this for a while.
It's really old.
I'm over it.
Yeah, that's what my buddies were talking about it before they left. Like, what now? What happens next? And I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next. I mean, it's a really hard schedule. You got to admit. But then again, the hard games, we've been competitive. It's these not as, you know, the not top 10 teams that we've struggled with so much. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you can talk yourself in circles as a fan. 3-6 is where we're sitting. That's the one thing you can't talk in circles around. That's You can only have so many almosts. It was almost comical how they go up by 2 scores and now all of a sudden Nebraska gets to play loose. They don't have to try to have ball control offense. They don't have to try to run between the tackles. And so we get to just like run around, and Sam McEwen in his post game analysis, he's like, they look like a AAC team, you know, it looks like a MAC team. And I was like, yeah, it's maybe at this core still where Frost is. But once you get into that scenario, they do it and they move the ball, and then they almost get that onside kick. And it's almost funny in a sad sort of
it. Yeah, it was almost way. Scripted for us this week. Like the second that Nebraska's back was against the wall, suddenly everything worked. It clicked. But it's the classic too little too late.
Yeah, it's Purdue is all of a sudden they've got a little confidence, and they're playing a little bit more prevent maybe. You can afford to be reckless, and you know, recklessness, high risk, high reward offense, and it works. It's when we're in, you know, low risk offense, low pressure, so to speak, that we just can't consistently move it.
Yeah.
And then the defense, they couldn't stop Purdue. Purdue's not a good running team. They're a bad running team, and we couldn't stop them. I think they had double the number of yards they average.
So I've thought about this next question a lot, Justin. We try our hardest to not single out players. So I'm going to phrase this in a way where I'm just going to ask a question. If you were a coach, at what point, what is your number of interceptions that you find acceptable before you start thinking about putting the backup in?
We were talking about this at the game yesterday. You know, there was a near pick six right at the beginning of the game, maybe like the second play. That could have been started things off with a disaster. And the actual pick six, I haven't rewatched it, but at the time it looked like a really good catch. And so the second interception, I don't remember the details of it, but the third and fourth interceptions felt like it was after the point of, it was when you're already kind of getting towards the high risk, high reward, whatever.
Right.
So I think it is easy to point at 4 interceptions and say that's why we lost. But I really feel like the first two were the crucial ones and the last two were more junk. So anyway, we were debating who was going to come out at quarterback. And I said, Frost is going to say Adrian gives us the best chance to win. And so he's going to put in Adrian. And Frost has been booed, so he's loyal to a fault, especially with his quarterbacks. So I never expected to see Logan.
Here's the frustrating thing for me about that, though, and I apologize for cutting you off.
How dare you?
The frustrating thing for me about that, and you know, that's what Frost said in his presser after the game.
Oh, is it? That's funny. Yep, I didn't even hear it.
He pretty much said that word for word. The thing that's frustrating to me about that is we should not be in a position where when your quarterback throws four interceptions in a game, he is still your best option. I want there to be more competition at quarterback at Nebraska so that when this kind of situation happens, or God forbid somebody gets hurt, there isn't such a huge drop-off in talent from number one to number two. It should not be the kind of situation where if your quarterback is having a terrible day that you can't put anybody else in. It should not be the kind of situation where if your quarterback is playing hurt, he's still better than the other options. Like, we're in huge trouble if he is our only option, and that's the way it seems to be for me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm frustrated with. Is like, and I'm not at all, in no way, shape, or form, am I like trying to single out Adrian Martinez. I think he plays with a lot of grit. I think he's a good quarterback who's gotten a lot of blame for things that are not his fault over the last 4 years.
I thought, yeah, on that that long bomb, I thought my buddy who I was with, we both thought that Torrey kind of took his foot off the gas. Maybe he lost the ball because there was that transition of the shade to mm-hmm. the light mm-hmm. right where that ball came. But it seemed like it was on the money and he misplayed it. And, you know, when you have a tight connection, it takes two to tango, but I kind of thought I put that on Torrey personally.
And so like I'm not dogging on Martinez at all, but like think about it. That probably has a psychological effect on him, whether he wants to admit it or not, that it's been communicated, you are our only hope. And so the weight of the world is on his shoulders at quarterback.
I think he feels that. I think that's true.
And I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think that's fair to the team. I don't think that's fair to the other quarterbacks that they're constantly being told, Martinez is dinged up, but he's still better than you. Remember when we had three quarterbacks fighting over the same position and we won a national championship?
Yeah, you just can't have three quarterbacks fighting over the same position in this day and age. I mean, if you're going to recruit top guys, so that's, I appreciate where you're coming from, but it's just so hard to manage now that, so there's a handful of guys behind Adrian, but we're going to have to get to next year to see how good, what that competition really looks like, because Adrian's just so far ahead.
Yeah.
And he was pushed last year. He was pushed.
Mm-hmm. That's by Luke, true.
And he got benched, and it was clear he was the better quarterback in the end. And, now what, Luke is a backup at Rice, right?
Yep.
So he was pushed last year, probably made him a better quarterback. I don't know if he's being pushed or not now, but they didn't put in Logan Smothers.
Yeah.
I think, this Ohio State game has real, I'm scared. If things don't work out, I don't know. Maybe you try the future, play for the future mm-hmm. more. Maybe you don't kick Adrian to the curb, but maybe do some alternation. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that, like, let's address the elephant in the room. There are a lot of fans who are, I don't know if I should say this. I feel like there's a lot of fans who are waiting to see who our starter is next year to decide whether or not they want to care about this team.
What do you mean? Like, you think that...
I think that there are people who are ready to give up on Nebraska if Adrian is our starter next year.
Well, I think, as we've talked about on the show, I think that we have seen what this head coach and this quarterback are capable of together, and I think if he had a little bit better season, if some of these close wins or close losses had become wins, that maybe there'd be a little temptation to come back and turn more close losses into wins. But at this point, maybe there's probably a reason PJ Fleck is getting in his ear after the game. Like, I think people are going to want to have a shot at Adrian for next year on their college roster. And I don't know if that is what he would do, but I don't know what else he can accomplish here. I feel like, as I've said, I feel like if his job is on the line next year, that he needs to, it would be worthwhile to get a look at his team run by a second quarterback and not just the same guy the whole time, because Adrian's a very talented dude, but he's not getting us there. It's a collective failure, but he's the quarterback. It's like the most important position in sports. So it'd just be nice to, if Ross is coaching for his job next year, if he has the privilege of getting to next year to coach for his job, let's just see how it goes with somebody else.
Yeah.
And if the struggles are identical, you know, if there's that some, you know, if there's evidence of a young quarterback who's making some youthful mistakes but has real potential, that's, you know, a different way to look at things. If they can develop the snot out of him and he's things take off, that's another thing, and that would be awesome. But this probably, I think, is going to be the end of that four-year ride, and that's okay.
And I want to be clear, personally, if Adrian Martinez is the starter next year, I am showing up, I am supporting this team, I'm cheering them on, I'm 100% behind it. I am going to support this team no matter what. I will be more upset.
Yeah.
If there are not some coaching changes made by Frost during the offseason. Now, I'm not going to name names. I don't even think it's worth having that conversation on this podcast. I don't think that's who we are. But I think it's time for maybe, like, let's try to get somebody new in here. Perhaps a special teams coach.
Yeah.
You know, just get somebody, change it up.
We had a new kicker this week. We had a new place kicker this week.
Yes, that was one thing I was really pleased with, is that they did change that up. And this new guy, walk-on, I forget his name.
Chase Contrez?
Sure.
I need to look it up.
Yeah, he probably deserves to have his name spoken on this podcast. Whether or not he ever hears it is another question. But yeah, he did. He showed up, and he proved why he got the chance to play this weekend. I thought he did great. Did everything that was asked of him.
Well, and that wind was really swirling.
Yeah.
So to make, what, two? Do you make one or two?
I think it was just one field goal, two.
Yeah, Chase Contreras. It was funny because I tweeted, hey, that wasn't, you know, again, like, we try not to call people out. I just tweeted, hey, who kicked that field goal?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't CC. And someone pointed out it was CC. It was just it was a different CC.
Nice.
Chase Contreras.
Yeah.
33-yard field goal with some swirling wind, weird conditions, and two PATs.
Yeah.
Prist up, averaged 41.5 yards on per kick, and had a 62-yarder.
Yeah, I thought he did fine,
That's not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver Martin continues to snag balls in dangerous scenarios that if he doesn't grab them, we lose a lot of yards. And he actually returned one for 11 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually returned two kicks. Zach Weinmaster returned one for 20 yards. And Alante Brown returned, I'm confused by this total here. It says he returned two, but there's a total of two, and that looks like three. We had a couple kick returns, and, you know, special teams maybe are moving forward.
Yeah. The one sign of progress in this season is the one thing that we were pulling our hair out about the most at the start of the season. Everything else seems to be going down the crapper.
Yeah, and their special teams were objectively worse. Their field goal kicker was 0-for-2 field goals, and their punter averaged 34 yards on 5 punts. Four turnovers. And then we haven't really talked about it, but the defense was on the field for, like, what, 38 minutes?
Yeah. Oh,
you just can't win.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't win that game.
And you know, but like, credit where credit's due, defense for most of that game kept us in it.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're on the field for that long, eventually things are just going to break down.
They just don't play complimentary football. The defense, they didn't get any turnovers this week, which were really needed. And just not a lot of sacks. It felt like Nebraska, this is my thought, it felt like Nebraska was terrified of getting the long bomb pass. David Bell, very dynamic receiver, felt like they were in terror of that. And so by having safeties over the top, there was just always someone open underneath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so David Bell, he had 9 receptions, only 74 yards. So, you know, that's kind of pedestrian for him. And nobody ripped one off over the top. But at the same time, 34 receptions for 233 yards.
Gosh.
I mean, 233 yards, that doesn't feel like a ton of receptions for or yards for 34 catches, but he still just was able to distribute it consistently for, you know, 4 to 12 yards.
And when
it
you've got a running game to complement that.
Yeah, and we just couldn't stop it. We just couldn't get off the field. And Brohm, I think he does a good job of, you just don't know what's coming. He calls a really good game. So, you know, hats off to them. There was a play, like the first or second running play. It was Damian Daniels got the guy tackled, and it was really eye-opening. The initial thought was, ha, they can't run on us. But then you see the film, you'd be like, oh, that was a pretty athletic snag of his ankle by the defensive tackle. If he doesn't do that, he's running for a while.
Yeah.
And, so they got to us. Yeah. Their longest rush was only 13 yards. They only averaged 2.8 yards rushing, but they did have 116 yards, and they just kept pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that average rush is really thrown off by 3 carries by the quarterback for -9 yards. Dude, it was just a frustrating game, and the weather almost told the story. The first half, 60s, beautiful, great day. Beautiful day. And then in the second half, the sun kind of dipped down. You could start to feel it if you sat down before the fans around you sat down and you lost the sun. It was noticeably colder. You could tell a drop was coming. And then it did dip down behind the stadium. And then the wind shifted. And it went, all of a sudden, it was straight in our faces. And I had a thin running jacket, kind of a windbreaker. And I put that on, but I was cold. I wouldn't say I was miserable, but I was definitely uncomfortable. And so for night and day, first half to second half, in the same way, things were good, comfortable the first half. There was obviously a terrible pick six. We could play the old, you know, if he doesn't catch the pick six and he does catch the long bomb, we're up by blah, blah, blah. So those things didn't happen.
Yep.
It felt comfortable. But then we didn't have the long bomb connection, some goofiness there. And then when we get the ball back, I don't think we do anything right in the first drive of the second half. And it was just downhill.
Oh, yeah.
Just downhill from there.
Another third quarter, back to our old habits.
3 plays, 9 yards, and a punt.
Ugh. Well, I think Justin and I could probably go on for another hour.
But we don't want to.
Purdue, but, you know, scan back to a loss from 2-3 years ago and listen to what we had to say then. Probably a lot of the same things.
yeah.
But, hey, to bookend the conversation here, we started with 2 voicemails. We're going to end it with 2 voicemails, and I think that they are they're worth listening in on. So we're going to start things first here with Sarah.
Hello, this is Sarah from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I just wanted to say I came to fanship of the Huskers after I moved here 10 years ago, and as a St. Louisan and a lifelong Cardinals and Blues fan, I just don't understand how Husker fans can be so down on the program just because of a few years. I get it. In the 90s, y'all were going strong and you were awesome, and it feels like it should always be that way. But again, I grew up a St. Louis Blues fan, which meant that up until 2019, we had up seasons and down seasons. We went to the playoffs every year for over 20 years as I was growing up, but never reached that pinnacle. And it's just about loving the team and being a fan of the team, win or lose. I get it. We want them to win, and it's heartbreaking when they lose. But if you're a fan, you love them win or lose. And that's the hardest thing for me to see when I look on any social media and people dogging on coaches and players and all those other things that really – if you love the team, you support the team, win or lose. It's about being a fan of the team. It's not about being a bandwagon fan. And so it might take 10 more years for us to get to be the team that we want the Huskers to be, the team that they were in the 90s, before I was ever even here or knew anything about the Huskers. But our support is more important than we probably realize. And if you love the team, if you love the Huskers, if you love Nebraska, then you love them win or lose. And so you support them win or lose. And when they win, it's that much more exciting and that much of a greater feeling when it happens. So as a fan who, again, St. Louis Blues, they're my team, but it took us 50 years to get the Stanley Cup. And if it takes another 10 or 20 years before Nebraska gets the championship, I'm okay. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to support the team.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. It's interesting just kind of hear her echo my friends who were at the game with me. It's hard to understand this Cornhusker fandom, maybe when you're not steeped in it from childhood. But I do appreciate this outside. I mean, she's been here for a while, so it's not truly outside anymore, but, you know, an outsider perspective more or less saying, why are you freaking out?
Yeah.
Hang in there. So, yeah. I mean, it's good to hear. Thanks for the call, Sarah.
I mean, what is it? Just tonight, this is October 31st that we're recording. The Braves are one win away from their very first World Series championship.
Really?
I think. Well, now I got a. Maybe somebody was saying within like the last 50 or something like that.
I don't know anything about the Braves, other than they were on TBS.
Let's see here. Braves World Series championships. Who was saying? Somebody was giving me bull crap on the radio talking about that. It's not their first ever. This would be their fourth ever. It's their first one since 1995. So
their first attempt or their first
win of the World Series. Okay. So I'm glad I checked that. Here we're talking on October 31st. I confess I haven't really been paying attention to the World Series this year. The Braves, they're one win away from their first World Series championship in over 25 years. So
been a while, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess right around 25 years. But still, I mean, you know, we're looking at Nebraska's kind of in the same boat. It's been a long time since we've been a part of that conversation. And
truly,
you know, I would argue that there are Braves fans in the stadium this week or this past week who were in the stadium in 1996, you know? So the question is, are you going to be there when Nebraska wins again?
Sure hope so.
And I'm not asking you, Justin. It's a hypothetical.
Oh, it's hypothetical.
I think that you, I have no doubt that you will be. But do you, Nebraska fan, will you be there? You know? But anyway. So thank you to Sarah. Sarah is our first female caller of the season. So
all right.
We are going to honor our promise that she gets two coupons for Runza Meals on the Husker Pod. So. A little date night opportunity for you right there.
All right.
Nothing says I love you like Frings and Husker football.
Truly, that's love.
Yeah. So we're going to finish things out here, though, with just a short, fun little voicemail from our friend Ben. Take it away, Ben.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing the podcast. My name's Ben. I'm in Iowa. Hey, Mike. That was a sufficiently depressing loss. I guess I was just kind of hoping for a little bit of a distraction. So, if we can pull out one more win this year, which one would you want it to be? Maybe that's a decent point of conversation. Maybe not. Have fun recording a podcast after this game. Sorry, guys. Thanks for doing the podcast every week. Really enjoy it.
Thanks for calling in, Ben. That's an interesting hypothetical there.
Yeah.
I have a really quick answer to it. Like, if I had to pick one game, Iowa.
Yeah.
Like, I certainly hope that Nebraska can win out. I would love to see this team get to a bowl game. Do I think that's likely? No. Do I think it's possible still? Yeah, of course. Anything's on the table. But if I had to make my choice of which one game would I want to be a guaranteed win, let's finish off the season on a good note, finally getting the team that's had our number for the last several years in a row.
Which one?
Iowa. Good point.
I'm sorry, yeah.
But the team that most frustratingly... did you see that jerk blow kisses at us yesterday?
Player?
Yeah.
Which one?
I think it was the guy who came up with the onside kick. He went out to midfield blowing kisses, and then he threw the bones right at the 50-yard line. I was angry.
Oh, I saw a picture of him throwing the bones. I missed it.
It was frustrating. But anyway, sorry. We're bringing it back to Purdue. We don't need to keep picking that scab.
Yeah, I would say Iowa as well. We've got the alliance with Ohio State, so, you know, we're kind of on friendly terms there. I feel like Wisconsin and Iowa, those are two games that I'd really like to win. But if I had to pick one, I'd pick the one that we share a border with.
Yep. Although, beating Iowa probably isn't quite the quite the feat that it seemed it was about a month
ago.
Quite
the feather in our cap.
Yeah. But still, I'd love to see that be a victory. So thanks for the question, Ben.
That's
folks,
true.
If you want to weigh on Ben's question, weigh in on Ben's question, let us know. I'd be curious as to your input on that as well. So tweet at us at HuskerPod. Email us if you want to, HuskerPod@gmail.com. When's the last time we got an email, Justin?
Just spam.
Well, yeah, we get a lot of, hey, I see you guys have a semi-established podcast. Can we make money off of you?
Have we got a business opportunity for you?
Have we got a business opportunity for us?
Before switching gears here to Ohio State, I just wanted to point out that there was a really good article about Cameron Piper, one of our long snappers. And it was in Nebraska News Service, which I think is the Daily Nebraskan, or not the Daily Nebraskan, a College of Journalism website. Matt Ludwig wrote this earlier this week, and we retweeted it, and I highly recommend it. Nebraska News Service. What are you, Nebraska News Service?
I believe it's a news service based out of the state of Nebraska, Justin.
So all that to say, check out Huskers long snapper Cameron Piper looks to teach on and off the field. Cool story about a long snapper. And as the unofficial Nebraska long snapper podcast, we endorse this article.
Indeed. You know, I kind of like the fact that we've emerged as, you know, we're kind of the little guy, kind of the underdog, it feels sometimes in the world of podcasting, you know. We don't have a former player as a co-host or anything like that. We don't, this isn't lining our pocketbooks. We're just doing this for the love of the game. And long snappers, yeah, they're showing up for the love of the game too. So I like being able to shine the spotlight on somebody who maybe isn't quite always in the limelight.
Sure. It's fun. Should we talk about Ohio State?
I guess.
Guys, it's a scary looking game. Ohio State is SP Plus overall number one. Their offense is number one. Special teams are number one. Defense is 15. So, yikes. They are, let me do some quick math here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 1. They start the season off with a win at Minnesota, who is SP Plus 17th. Then they lost a tight game. They beat Minnesota 45-31. Then they host Oregon in a widely anticipated matchup. You know, the game last year at Oregon was canceled because of COVID. They lost 35-28 to Oregon, who's SP plus 23. So I'm sure they'd like another shot at him. Then they had a few games against not stellar opponents. So they beat Tulsa, who's 85th overall, 41-20. They beat Akron, who's 127th overall, 59-7. They beat Rutgers, 69th overall, 52-13. They beat Maryland, 40th overall, 66-17. And they beat Indiana, 61st overall, 54-7. That, I think we thought Indiana was maybe a little bit better before the season. And then most recently, they beat number 11, Penn State, 33-24, kind of a close game. So, it's a pretty good team coming to town here. Just to look at a few...
That's an understatement.
Yeah, player highlights. First-year quarterback CJ Stroud There was a little bit of unhappiness with him at the beginning of the season, but he's put together a just fine season. He's doing all right. He's completed 147 of 219 passing attempts for 2,270 yards. That's a 67% completion rate, averaging 10.4 yards a catch, 23 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, and only sacked 5 times. Trevion Henderson is getting the bulk of the carries at running back. He's carried 107 times for 845 yards and 12 touchdowns at 7.9 yards per carry. So, you know, if he has a really great day, he could hit 1,000 against us. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But it's definitely, he's on track for that. Master Teague, who I think was their number one guy a year or two ago, is third in carries with 43 and 245 yards and 3 touchdowns. At wide receiver, it's just embarrassment of riches and a lot of guys with a lot of touchdowns. So if you want to look at the receiving receptions leader, that's Garrett Wilson with 43 for 687 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's a 16-yard average. If you want to look at touchdown leader, that's Chris Olave with 35 receptions for 562 yards and 9 touchdown receptions. If you want to look at the average yards per catch leader, that's Trevion Henderson, the running back. Oh, nope, wrong. It's Emeka Egbuka with 6 receptions for 145 yards. That's 24.2 yards per catch. He has an 85-yard reception is the story there. 0 touchdowns, so I guess he didn't make it to the end zone. So nearly a 1,000-yard rusher, a dude that's got 9 touchdown catches, just an incredible skill unit top to bottom. Oh, and their field goal kicker is perfect on the year. Noah Ruggles, 47 of 47 PATs and 11 of 11 on field goals. His longest is only 44 yards. So, leading tackler, Ronnie Hickman, the safety, 66 tackles and a couple of interceptions. Their sack leader is Haskell Garrett, a defensive tackle with 4.5 sacks for 23 yards loss. He's defended a pass as well and recovered a couple fumbles. Their second leading tackler, Taraja Mitchell, 41 tackles from the linebacker spot. So this is a good team. If they have a weakness, it's defense, but they just don't have many weaknesses. Kind of feels like Oklahoma felt like you could see a path, maybe. It looks harder to see a path to victory other than what we saw at the very end of the Purdue game where Adrian and the wide receivers all ran around like crazy. And try to make something happen. The defense is going to have to play the game of their life. Going to have to get some picks. And we got to start hitting the quarterback. I'm not sure if it happens this week, but we got to start hitting the quarterback. What are your thoughts on all that, Mike?
I'm reminded of a Bible story. Everybody thought that there was no way that David could beat Goliath.
But he did, Justin.
And so here's the deal. Every week in college football, it always seems to be, there's always some kind of like weird, crazy highlight that you watch during a game where they're like, as it turns out, this high school team from the middle of nowhere in Nevada or Wyoming or whatever, the Montana Mountaineers, they're beating Alabama today. You know, like some crazy, like, out of the blue, some team that you never would have expected. Okay, the rest of the world is not going to be paying attention to Nebraska versus Iowa State. Iowa State. The rest of the world is not going to be paying attention to Nebraska versus Ohio State this weekend. Let's punch them in the throat.
Yeah, well, it's an 11 o'clock kickoff, so you're right. I mean, that's not a super popular spot for people to tune in.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's make it interesting. I'm guessing Scott's got the guys fired up. They rise to the occasion, pretty consistently against top talent. So, maybe it happens again. I got to feel like there's a little bit of deflatedness in the stadium these days. But at the same time, there's been a few tweets coming out from football players who are clearly still excited to have a season ahead of them. They haven't quit. You know, if they want to look in the mirror and say we've barely lost all the games that we've lost, that's, you know, they can get motivated by
you
that.
Know,
so
that's an interesting thing to bring up is it it does seem like culturally this year, like if there's one thing you can point to, Frost seems to be pretty satisfied with how this team has gelled in the locker room. In fact, I think yesterday he was even saying he actually didn't say too much to the team after the game. He let the captains handle it.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Do you get that sense? This year there seems to be a lot more of Frost saying things like, you know, I'm really proud of this team. This is a great group of guys. They've got the grit. They've got the determination. I'm not worried about them losing heart or not showing up to play next week.
I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the things that's so frustrating about this year is the culture is in place. These are his guys, and they are a reflection of him. They're not, you know, other guys' guys, for lack of a better way to say it. So I feel like there's a really strong culture. You've got players coming out and owning it after a loss. You've got people picking each other up. I think that's part of the reason that it's so frustrating is, how are we not? How does this keep happening? Mm-hmm. It's like a bad dream.
Yep.
So anyway, we got to come up with a score prediction here, Mike.
All right. I'm going David and Goliath style. I'm throwing this against the wall, and I'm praying it sticks. We're going to double their score. 42-21, go Big Red.
Okay. Oh, I love it.
I want this to be a game where, out of nowhere, just nothing goes right for Ohio State, and they are just falling all over themselves. It happens. We've seen the highlights where teams that nobody expected to win just wallops one of the highest-ranked teams in the country. Why can't Nebraska be the team that does that this weekend?
Why not us? Why not now?
Exactly.
I think it's great. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the barn burner. I'm going to say defense, optional, the long bombs to Torre connect this week. I mean, we had was it Falk who caught a long bomb dot layout pass yesterday? It was really exciting. I mean, there were some good moments. Things are happening. So anyway, I'm going to say 50-49.
All right.
Woo.
Justin, we have officially reached the point of absurdity in the season, and, I'm here for it. I will be cheering on my team on Saturday. And just to be clear to everybody, that team is still the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah, no, never doubted that, Mike.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we encourage you to do the same. We know that this season is not going the way that anybody had hoped or even expected. Despite everything, there are still things that we can look to in this season that if this team properly builds on them, you could argue that, barring our record, there's signs of progress. That's what I'm going to hang my hat on at the end of the day, because that's all I can do.
Well, sure. I mean, we haven't had the embarrassing losses that we've been so passionate about in the past. You know, we've not been blown out. We've had maybe other types of losses.
You should not say that this week, Justin.
Well, I meant blowout losses.
Yeah,
but
no, I'm kidding.
Good point.
I mean, I'm saying leading into Ohio State, maybe be careful talking about blowout losses.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That'd be interesting to see. I mean, this is the test of the culture. You're in all these close games, so you can look in the mirror, as I just said. You can look in the mirror and say, we're close.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to show up against what might be, you know, the best team in the country, who has just a couple years ago showed up when we were feeling pretty good about ourselves and smacked us real good in the face. I mean, this is a real test. So we will see. Hey, how about our sponsors?
I was about to say, we will see you in a new home.
When you invite us over to record in your basement.
Or, you know, if you wanted to build a space specifically for us to have our podcast, we could come over in
your
home.
We've got some great specs. We could,
yeah,
this could really work.
Okay, folks, listen to this. We want you to give Monty Rohde a call, and we want you to buy a home purely with the thought of having an extra room that can turn into a podcast studio for Justin and Mike for the Husker Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have us over, you will have a freezer fully stocked with Central Nebraska Buffalo in that spare room.
I mean, you're gonna supply it.
Yes. No, of course. You're
not
gonna
saying
buy
we're
home.
Fully stocking it. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you're going to buy us a house. And we will gladly list you as an executive producer on every episode of this podcast in the liner notes. They call them liner notes, show notes, whatever. I'm thinking like a band. Yeah. Well, open invitation. If somebody wants to buy us a house, please go exclusively through Monty Rohde. And we need you to also provide extra budget and make all the arrangements. Make all the arrangements with a contractor to build a podcast studio for us and continually supply us with Central Nebraska Buffalo Bison products that we can
eat. It
really
seems like a good deal.
While we podcast. And here's the thing. If you
want
to...
I don't know why you wouldn't do this.
We'll let you be a guest on the podcast at least once every two seasons.
Once every two seasons. Okay. So I like that. So it's generous, but not too generous.
Right, right. So if that happens to be you, give us a call.
Let's make this happen. I'm excited.
Okay. In all seriousness, though, everybody, we do want to recommend Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. He would be happy to work with you, whether you are looking to be a benefactor of a podcast or just looking to relocate your family. Maybe your family's growing. Maybe your family may grow in the future and you want to plan ahead for something like that. Maybe you're looking to downsize. Maybe you're trying to take advantage of the fact that it is definitely seller's market right now. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm not a realtor. Don't take my advice. Talk to Monty. He's the one who can guide
you. I never take your advice.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially when it comes to housing. Yeah.
Right.
Monty is the expert in this situation, so you can give him a call at 402-770-3356, or you could email him at monty.rohde, that's R-O-H-D-E, at prglincoln.com.
I feel like I'm really tempted to do the Godfather's Pizza voice again.
I think, you didn't even say anything about the title of last week's episode.
What was it? Purdue don't?
No, it was Purdue it.
Oh, I didn't even get it. I thought it was just a clever...
Nope.
Oh, got it. Nice.
I was waiting for you to say something.
I didn't get there. I'm glad you pointed that out. Well done. Well played.
That's funny. It was only for you. Nobody else would have known what it was except you, and you didn't get it. Gosh, dang it.
I feel like once you listen to the episode, you might have noticed.
Oh, boy.
That's great. And as Mike and I have talked about before, holiday season is upon us. We're recording on the last day of October. And so November is here by the time you're listening to it. It's not too soon to be thinking about the holidays, thinking about Christmas gifts. Also, my birthday is the end of November, so there's that too. Go to Central Nebraska Buffalo's website. Check out everything available there, cnbuffalo.com. They've got a Christmas variety box, a Christmas jerky box, a Christmas sampler box. So the sampler has ground bison, patty package, ribeye, jerky. The Christmas variety box has 2 pounds of ground, one patty package, ribeye, a hot dog package, jerky sticks. It's lots of good stuff in here. And if you're really getting hungry, free shipping if you buy over $200 worth of bison. So you might want to think about that. They've also got the gear. I tell you what, I have one of those red Central Nebraska Buffalo hats, and I wear that with some regularity. It's maybe my favorite hat right now. And it's always fun to have people ask me about it. I get to be like, well, actually, they sponsor my podcast. And then half the time, people are like, you have a podcast? And I was like, yeah, don't you know that? 8 years almost, gosh. So anyway, cnbuffalo.com. Check it out. Lots of good stuff for the holiday season. Lots of good stuff for you. With that, I think my voice held up pretty well, but I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm there too. Man, I love Nebraska football. That's why we can still talk for an hour after a loss, man.
I mean, I still love it, but it's getting real hard.
Yeah, it is a long-suffering commitment. And I mean that in every sense of the term long-suffering. You can treat it as one word, or you can treat it as a hyphenated phrase, or it's just a lot of suffering lately.
So much pain.
But you know what, folks? Justin and I have actually talked a lot about this off the air, so to speak. We've had a lot of interaction this year with the people listening to this podcast, people calling in, people sending us notes. Thank you for your support of this podcast. Thank you that in the midst of this mess of a season, we still have people who are invested, people who are participating. We rarely even, I don't even remember the last time I looked at our download numbers. I'm going to be honest with you. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this for the community. We're doing it for the love of this team and the fan base. And when I say fan base, not our fans, Husker fans in general, right?
Oh, I didn't think you meant that.
Yeah. Pod fans? I don't know, whatever. There's one guy named Gary who's Husker Pod! Wish I could hang out with Justin. He seems like a cool dude. Come on, admit it. You've listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, man, I'd like to hang out with these guys.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I was listening to myself.
Anyway, folks, we appreciate you, but we respect your distance.
So stay away.
Suddenly it's turning into an insult of our fans.
What have you done, Mike?
Stupid. What am I saying? Mike, okay. Oh, we're there, man. We're there.
Stop. Stop.
Let's stop before I say something dumb.
Something else dumb? Or all right. Hey, Mike. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Beat State.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.